Welcome, everybody, to Living Step 11. We're going to start by reading Step 11. I'm Donna T. This is?
Sue D.
Compulsive Eater.
We're going to have a little talking with each other. We're going to do a little sitting and connecting, and we're going to do some sharing. It's going to be a little bit of everything. So, but we'll start with just reading Step 11. And I want to read it exactly as written. Because, you know, it's easy to think we remember when sometimes we don't. Okay, step 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Now, I just paraphrased it. I changed a word, so I'm going to read it again. It says a little something about my connection to this. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. So what we're going to do just to settle in is we're going to start with a meditation, and we're really just using what's here in Step 11. We're not deviating from it at all. And what's here in Step 11 is the prayer of St. Francis. So we're going to ask you to actually, everybody, just stand and stretch. Just stand and stretch.
And stretch too.
Stand and stretch. And when you're ready, just sit. And we're going to ask you to bow very quickly. And close your eyes. And we're going to read the prayer of St. Francis here from Step 11. Lord, make me a channel of Thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. We're going to ask now that you sit with your eyes closed for 5 minutes of meditation. All right. Slowly open your eyes. Okay, so we just sought through meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. So how did that work for everybody? Anybody?
So if you're going to speak, it is going to be timed. So I don't know how to do this, but please come and write your names, and if you can just quickly share. There's going to be a lot of sharing. I don't quite know how to do this, but we have to have names written if we are sharing. So
what happened?
I'm Diana. And what this did for me is it brought me down to a kind of pinpoint of focus, so that where my head was all over the place, and I want to be a good girl in here. I want to do what you tell me to do so I can get the results I want to get. So let's see. This is really a turnover to God and a little bit to you ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, guys. I found for the first time, she's talking, doors opening, going in and out, but I could find a quiet and a way to meditate through that and stay in my quiet and in my godlike state or connection to my higher power. So that was really an interesting thing for me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah? Come on.
Judy, a compulsive eater.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, everyone. Recommitted abstinence, I have gotten away from meditation, but it really reconnects me with my higher power, and I definitely believe that it helps me emotionally and definitely makes me know that I'm part of a greater whole that is universally good, and I love that prayer, so thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, Melissa, compulsive eater.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
I guess for me, it just helps relax me, kind of brings me in the present, and even no matter what's going on, just kind of tunes me back in. But kind of what I'm looking for in this workshop is to kind of connect that to God, because I'm not connecting it to God. I'm just connecting it as more of a relaxation.
Yeah.
And I have a little meditation app I do with my son, and now it's just kind of, but it's not really a connection with God. It's just more relaxing and getting my body into that state. So that's where I'm at. Thanks.
Does anybody else have this experience? Oh, you can come and share. Just hold that thought, though, if you have the experience of not feeling connected to God when you do this. Because I have a feeling you're not alone.
I'm June.
Hi, June.
Hi, June.
And I just want to be up here and be honest that... Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I struggle with this, and the whole time I'm sitting there, I am hearing everything, and in my mind I'm like, I just got a skirt, and I'm like thinking, ooh, what blouse can I, you know, and I want very much to be able to have that connection, mm-hmm. and I just don't know how to get there. I don't know how to shut my mind off. I mean, sitting there quiet for 5 minutes, I find it very difficult. Someone suggested that I do that for 30 days, and I'm here 5 minutes. I'm like, how am I going to do this for 30 days? So I'm just trying to be honest, because I really would like to be able to do it, and I just cannot shut my mind enough to be able to do it. So that's it. But I do love that prayer. I have meditated saying that prayer over and over, mm-hmm. and I don't know, does that count as meditation? Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I'm trying to understand and hope to learn.
Yeah, thank you so much for your honesty.
So you know, we talked about step 11. We looked at it in a lot of detail. Donna and I read it carefully, and you know, if you break these things down, they're so extraordinary. The writing. And if we get out of it and we just like try and see what is here, everything to answer anything that anyone brings up is in, we could have debated this for a long, long time. And the first thing that I'd like to honor everyone for is that just by first of all being at this workshop that's called the Step 11 workshop, and by taking the 5 minutes and not getting up and leaving, was to sort, to seek. And so whether you do or don't, whether we do, the requirement of Step 11 is that we sort through prayer and meditation. So we are trying to seek for something to improve our conscious contact with God. I think that the assumption to go by is that we are assuming that we all would like a road of the happy destiny. We're here and we'd like to have this road of happy destiny. We are following because we're already in step 11, whether you are or not. It's because the step cycle. But we are assuming that in whichever way that we are embracing this program, we are understanding that it's a spiritual program, so that we are knowing that this isn't just a diet, that we are participating in a spiritual program. There's no illusion about it. It's called a spiritual program. And that the promises that we're given as a result of working these simple steps is that we will have a spiritual experience. So we are coming here to seek that, so that we can find a life of joy and happiness, and that we can improve our conscious contact with whatever that might be that could help us towards that. So we're looking for the easier, softer way. We're looking for ways that we can get better, which is what I did. I just came here to get better. I don't care if someone tells me that there's a higher power or that this is what I should do, and there might be the possibility that this might make me better. Are the reasons why kicking and screaming with a lot of resistance, I ultimately do it because I want to get better more than I want the food, and I want to have this spiritual experience where I can find peace of mind and some connection so that I can get better, because I'm looking for that. I'm looking for the connection. So I came in here seeking the sort. I'm seeking for that connection from the get. So they're saying prayer and meditation. As somebody said, if we connect to the St. Francis prayer, which is just love rather than be loved, simple as can be. All that I have to do in this self-centered moment of my life is possibly to think of I'll love instead of be loved. So that already in 1 second takes me out of myself. And so the amazing thing about what we're being asked to do is, if I'm going to improve my conscious contact, first of all, I'm just supposed to improve. So thank God I'm not supposed to find it, look for it. I'm just supposed to improve. And I can tell you that I have improved. So I don't know where I'm at, and I don't know what, but I know for anything that whatever I was, whenever I came in here, as insane as I might have been, I'm better. I'm much better than I was. And when I came in insane and doing the third step prayer, all I could ask for at that time was protection and care. I couldn't have had a conscious contact. I couldn't have been conscious or even been aware of a contact. All that I could ask for was protection and care. Now I am in a situation where I've done this hard work and whatever, where I'm aware that I've got to get out of myself. I'm aware that I've got to, that I don't want to be mind altered anymore, that I want to be a conscious human being in this world. I want to be conscious. I want to be abstinent. I want to have the sobriety in what that means. I want to live a sober life, a life of awareness and consciousness, that I'm mindful about the things that I'm doing, so that I can make decisions in a rational way that are not based on the insanity or the mind-altering things that are influencing my thoughts, my actions, and the substances and things that I'm doing. So that my wish is to be my spiritual wish is to be conscious that I am living a life that isn't so crazy, insane. And so with some consciousness, I can start to look for contact, which is being looking for the signs, being closer to my intuition, being quieter so that I can hear and that I can be aware of and start to seek where that contact is, that it is those messages and those coincidences or the callings that I get on a constant basis. Whether it is that someone will say, even if your heart is breaking, you can still smell the roses. Whether it is that I see someone that I reminds me of something or brings me into awareness. just on a quick few personal levels, I have suffered severe disassociation. So my trauma really spent, my lifetime was spent out of myself. And so I could, you know, I was never present. I wasn't present just because I wasn't in the present moment, past and future, but I also wasn't present that I couldn't be in the here and now, in my body right here. I was always spinning in ways that I was shooting out of myself in whichever way, whether I had the substance or not. So for me to start to be grounded, to be in consciousness and not unconscious, and you know, and to have some specifics and not be so vague, has brought me so much peace and help. I mean, so much help. Like to be an unconscious drunkard, you know, in whatever that might be, and then to sort of be able to walk with some kind of dignity and being aware of where I'm going is such a blessing. I once was lost and now I'm found. You know, I'm just not so blind. And then to have this contact with something that is that I can stop and hear is the moment of the stopping. So it's not whether you can sit and have this long meditation so that you can go into or whatever. It's just the stop. They say it in step three. We paused and said, God grant me this serenity. In step 11 and 12, it's just the moment of prayer and meditation that just stops our impulsiveness, that just stops the compulsive, obsessive behaviors that come with addiction, that are just that irrational moment, that disease minute. And if we can just, whatever the intervention might be, so you can interpret it, all of this spiritual path is our own interpretation, a God of our understanding and a spiritual path of our understanding. But for all of us, we need the intervention. We just need the second of the breath between the halts that can just stop us from the addictive behaviors that we have, which are so impulsive. So basically all we're doing is just, the prayer and meditation is just the minute that is between the one bite, it's between the one email, it's between the one word, it's just the moment between what is the road of self-destruction. It's just that moment. So this is such a glorious prayer that all we're doing is we're seeking. I'm seeking. So the assumption is we're here for a reason. No one's imposing anything. No one's making you do anything. If you want this, then you come searching for it. So if you're searching for it, then there are specific tools that we're giving you to search. So there are ways that you can search. If you want to hear what's God's will, if you want to hear maybe what the message is for us, then maybe we can try and practice some of the things that they're suggesting, which is a moment of prayer, mantra, can be anything, thy will not mind be done, the da da da, thy will not mind be done, thy will not mind, God will, not my will, whatever it is that you can say, God in the palm of my hand, God on my shoulder, God behind me, in front of me, whatever that might be, anything. I hold things all the time. Whatever you might use for your prayer, meditation, 1 minute, 2 seconds, before we act, is a moment of meditation. And then so that we can be conscious and just be, have a moment of not insane, a little bit of conscious behavior, so that we can have a contact with a God of our understanding, which is whatever you want. Whatever you want that is going to get us out of ourselves, out of self-centered, and listening to something that is, might be a better guidance of a way of living our lives that is just a little bit different than what we knew before. So that's sort of a broken down interpretation. There's an exercise that we've got that I'm just going to quickly pass these out. If everyone can help, and hopefully you've all got some pens, and if you could just take a moment to answer these questions. Thanks, Lisa.
So the idea is, so we came in seeking, we took a moment to be quiet and to really be honest about where we feel our limitations are, whether or not, you know, so we're seeking, whether or not we did have conscious contact, whether or not we were conscious, are we doing it right? We've had all these questions. And now what this handout is going to help you to look at is, you know, what is the quality of conscious contact? In other words, what is the result of having conscious contact? And just as you've been honest with your experience of the original exercise of the meditation, this is an opportunity for you to kind of check in and say to yourself, you know, what, now that I'm seeking, now that I've found some conscious contact, what is my experience of my life as a result of that? And so what we're going to do is give you just a moment to complete that, and we're going to talk about it a little bit on the other side.
So I think the important question is at the bottom, which is, I think they're all important questions. They were very important questions to me. But I think the question that we just want some feedback on is, in general, how close do you feel to God?
And please feel free to share. Please.
And if we can just write your name after you've shared. Thanks. Yeah,
you know the drill. You know how it works.
I think. Hi, I'm Jackie, compulsive.
Hi, Jackie.
Again. I wrote as close as possible because it is a relationship, and I look at this relationship as if I got up in the morning and didn't speak to my husband, and went and made coffee, and he walked in, and it's like that. God to me is a person. So, the type of relationship I have with God is like I tell him I'm mad that I'm a compulsive eater. I feel like I can tell him that because I feel like he's a person, he's listening, he's loving. I feel like when I'm about to make a decision about food, that voice is saying, you don't have to choose that. It's a relationship. So, because I look at it in my mind as he is a person to me, then there's contact, there's talk throughout the day. Help me with this, I can't do this. Help me talk to this person, they're coming my way. I don't want to talk to them. Help me, okay, what do I say? Hi, you know? So it's a relationship.
Thank
it's
you.
A relationship, beautiful, thank you. Who else? Oh, I see. I love it. I love it when people participate, it's fantastic.
Hi, my name is Beth. I'm a compulsive eater. As I was going through these boxes, my gut reaction was a little bit different than my should reaction. Mm-hmm. And I want many times a day all the way down. And, you know, I want that as close as possible relationship with God. But I also see, when I'm honest with myself, there's always room for growth. I do truly value my relationship with my higher power, and I'm just so grateful for the tools, as I call them, my spiritual acts of worship, as it draws me closer to my higher power and to the faith of my religion that's, you know, active and living as I connect with my higher power. And I definitely seek God's help throughout the day, and you know, have plenty of room to grow. I don't know if that as close as possible will ever be achieved until I actually die, but the more I work this program, the closer I can get. Thanks.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Hi.
Anate.
Hi, Anate, compulsive overeater.
Anate.
Hi. I put in general, I feel somewhat close to God. What I've really realized since I've been in the program the past 70 plus days is I always feel closer to God when things are going my way in life.
Yeah, right.
And that's where I really struggle, because when things aren't going my way, I don't feel close to God, or I have to go to nature. I've always felt closer to God in nature than I did in a church, even though I was raised in church, but I always just go to nature. And so I'm having a hard time, or I guess a hard time surrendering that when things don't go my way, it's still God's way and it's thy will, and because I don't understand it, and I have to understand that, you know, and things end up being revealed sometimes, whether it's a month, a week, a year, and I'm like, oh, golly, God was working for me, but in the midst of it, I don't feel that closeness sometimes, and especially, which I've realized in my inventory, as I compare to other, when people are, things are going great for people's lives and not necessarily the things that I want, I do feel like, well, I mean, I don't, you know, sometimes I feel like, God, you left me hanging. Like, what's going on? Because I don't get it. So that's why I put somewhat close. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's yeah. Thank you. It's great. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Megan, compulsive eater from Utah.
Hi, Megan.
So I also put somewhat close. I grew up in a very strong religious culture, a great religious culture, very God-centered. But in my particular home, we didn't really, the teachings weren't very clear, and there was a lot of chaos and confusion. And so I was never really clear on, you know, what I was supposed to feel or things like that, although I did have a very supportive religious community. But since I've started 12-step, which was only a few months ago, that's the first time I ever felt God's love. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful for that, and it's through other people, and I just got a taste of that feeling, and so now I do seek it a lot. But, you know, I had to seek first before mm-hmm. I felt that, and mm-hmm. I started praying more regularly before I found the 12-step program. I was praying for very specific things, and they all came in this form. So, thank you.
Thanks. You so much.
Yeah, Megan, why don't you watch?
Yeah, and the next two. Yeah. You're next. You were the next one.
Denise, compulsive eater.
Hi, Denise.
I'm a person that can get stuck into self. I am a person that volunteers a lot for just about everything in the community. And sometimes I get hung up in what I'm doing, and I can get into self. But I know that I have a special relationship with God, because God stops me and makes me see the things that I need to do for myself, for my family, for everybody that I'm involved with, for the people that I'm volunteering for. And I have to wake up. He like taps me on my head, and what I do every day, sometimes maybe three or four times a day, I have to pray and ask God to help me get through this, or what should I do. And I always tell God, just knock me on the head with it, you know, because I'm so stubborn, you know. And I didn't really realize I was so stubborn until I got into this program. And I've learned so much about myself. So I can stand here and admit that I am into self, and I have to get out of self, and God reminds me to do that. I can have, like, anything weird happen to me, and God will remind me that this is the way it should be.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, so I'm very grateful.
Thank you.
Great. And this will be the last one. This is wonderful.
Well, I've been in the program just almost 3 years now, and it's finally dawning on me that I'm only supposed to pray for knowledge of his will for me and how to help others. I'm like, well, it's a disease of self, compulsive eating. It's like, well, what's fun about that? And what about me? And it's like, that's... So anyway, I'm finally getting a little closer to actually caring what God wants me to do for him. And it's really kind of fun. And he's usually pretty nice about it. And I usually end up feeling way happier when that becomes my concern instead of, well, what do I get and what about me and when do I get to feel better, etc. So anyway, I just thought it was kind of sad that it's taken me 3 years to get to understand that, even though I read it all the time. But it's fun to have progress. So thanks.
Well, that's a beautiful segue into the second piece of Step 11. So before we go into the knowledge of God's will for us, which Donna is going to deal with, I just want to, as a last inquiry, is why don't we seek? And if this is, that all we need to do is we sought through prayer and meditation, great solutions to improve our conscious contact with God, make us conscious, have a message that is going to help us have a connection that is going to make us feel so great. What is stopping us from seeking? Anyone who's...
Hi, I'm Karen, compulsive eater of Food Addict. And I can, of course, only speak for myself. I've been in program 19 years. And I've had long-term abstinence of like up to 4 years and then down to right now I'm at 70 days. But and I came into program as an agnostic and someone who was not raised in any kind of religion. And so I felt great when I had in the beginning just a spiritual awakening that I actually got to. And I think that actually took 3 years, so don't worry about yourself, just to have a spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. And I just, used the substitution method for a long time. At any rate, for me, what I feel often is that all of my relapses seem to come down to not feeling that spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. And even this last relapse was also when I went through it with my sponsor about, what tools wasn't doing, and the biggest one was praying and meditating. And why can't I get there? And so I've spent some time really kind of thinking about that, and I did outreach calls, and I found that I just don't know how. Mm-hmm. I need more of a roadmap to get me to Beautiful. Meditate and pray. I don't mm-hmm. understand how to do it. I know all the prayers in our program. I can repeat them all for you. And I do those. I do the Serenity Prayer a lot. But it still doesn't, I don't get that connection because I don't have that map. I think that's one of the biggest resistances I had to answer your question. Thank you.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, a lot of people have said this today. I don't know how to do this, And hearing this idea of I'm not feeling the connection, And even in the responses to the handout, there was this idea of I'm not feeling the connection. And I just want to go back to what the step says. Sought through prayer and meditation. Sought. Here are the tools to improve our conscious contact. The word connection isn't there. To improve our conscious contact with God as we understand God. I heard somebody talking about God as a person, a relationship, nature. you know, God, G-O-D, God, is a symbol. I mean, how can we possibly identify this vast mystery? How can we possibly identify? I don't know what God is. I can't tell you what God is. It's too vast. It's too big for my mind to understand. But if I connect to a feeling of what I think God is or what I hope for God to be in nature or in relationship, in a person, in my experience of being able to eat abstinently when that makes no sense to me, that's fine. So really it's about my consciousness of that as the relationship I choose. It's not about some connection. Sometimes I might not feel connection. Mother Teresa talked about how she didn't feel connection for most of her adult life. But she acted in faith, faith then being her behavior. I had a sponsor, the sponsor who took me through all my steps, said to me one day, said to me, faith is not a feeling. It's a decision. And we see that again and again in our steps. In step two, we make a decision about God. If it's a chair, fine. If it's the room, fine. If it's nature, fine. If it's Jesus, fine. So vast. God's fine if you pick grandma. It's fine. Because God's big enough to hold that. Step two, we decide about God. Step three, we decide for God. Yes, I'm going to turn my will and my life over. And now in step 11, we just decide to be conscious and have contact. Okay, so now we have the conscious contact. What do we do with that? We pray for conscious contact with God, and then we pray for God's will for us and the power to carry that out, knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. I'm going to tell you that I don't always have knowledge of God's will for me. I don't. I am not part of that vast intelligence or imagination. I'm not, my brain's not big enough for that. I don't always know God's will for me, but I can pray for the power to carry that out. Now, the good news is, it's never going to be my power. If I'm in conscious contact, if I've come this far, I'm now being lifted along by a power greater than myself. So the power to carry that out, I have it, it's just not mine. So now that I have this power, and I pray for knowledge, or at least the power to carry out the will, sometimes my prayer is like, is God, I'm going to take this leap of faith. This leap of faith being an action, a decision. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to ask that your will be done. So if I'm on the wrong track, you will fix it. That is the power to carry it out. If I make this decision and it's the wrong decision, the power to carry it out is your power. And you will carry it out. And I will go along with that. I'm not going to resist that. So it's back to willingness. So we have all this power now. We have this vast power of this vast intelligence and this vast imagination. We really can do anything. So it comes down to, what is my decision on a moment-by-moment basis to be in alignment with that will? Because I hear people asking for tools. So we started with tools. We started with the tool of the prayer of St. Francis. And in this prayer, there are options: to be loved or to love, to be forgiving or to want forgiveness or to be forgiving. This is what it comes down to for us. We don't have to have a nirvana experience after our seeking to make these decisions. We don't have to be a priest. We don't have to be, you know, a guru. We don't have to be whatever we've decided we're supposed to be people of faith. We just have to make decisions that are in alignment with our best guess at what the greater good is, our best guess at what selflessness is, and we make our best decision, and guess what? We turn it over. The metaphor I always like to use is, you know what? I can do everything right to fix my car. I can take it in for regular checkups or whatever they call them. What is that? Tune-ups. I can get it cleaned. I can do all of these things for my car. But guess what? I get in it, and I hit a nail, and I get a flat tire. That's not my – I mean, I've done my best. But the plan was not for me to drive anywhere that day. And it's the same thing with these decisions. We make our best decision, and we turn it over. And we're conscious about it. And that's a prayer. That pause that Sue talked about, that's a meditation. Three deep breaths is a meditation. And I heard a lot of people judging their own sense of what they're doing and whether they're connecting the way they're supposed to connect. You're seeking. You're conscious.
And breathing.
What?
And breathing.
And breathing. I need to breathe, I guess. And then you're turning it over. So we're gonna end with that prayer of St. Francis. Again.
I think we've got a few minutes for questions.
And yet we have a few minutes for questions. So let's. Does anybody have any questions, thoughts,
comments,
reactions?
Thoughts, yes.
Yes.
Hi, Rosie, compulsive overeater.
Rosie.
So with over 10 years in 12-step and this particular fellowship being so new for me, it's really interesting applying spiritual principles. And for me, step 11 becomes about, in my prayer, steps 1, 2, 3, God, I'm powerless over. And for me, step 2 is...
Come a little forward.
Sorry, I believe that there is a solution. I don't have it. I don't know what it is. And then step 3 is, God, I'm letting you take this. This is too big for me. And then letting my higher power have whatever the problem is. Mm-hmm. It works as the vehicle for me to being open to hearing my higher power. Because so much of the time I'm in self-will. Mm-hmm. And I've been in self-will about, I can have this and not that. Or I'm going to eat this on this day and have a cheat day on this day. And I'm going to exercise this much. So, you know, in being open, I'm able to accept the tools and accept the feedback. And my higher power is not the little old white man who lives in the clouds. Mm-hmm. So the way I'm exposed to my higher power is seeing recovery in my fellows. Mm-hmm. And hearing recovery through their shares and their feedback, mm-hmm. through my outreach calls, mm-hmm. and from my sponsor. Mm-hmm. So it's been really amazing to be in that 1, 2, 3 step in my meditation and in my prayer to be open, mm-hmm. to hear what my higher power mm-hmm. has for me.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Openness. Yeah.
Let him come in.
One more.
So, Michael.
The ladies are jumping in.
I know. It happens. Michael, compulsive eater.
She did.
Michael.
To answer the question of, you know, what stands in the way, it's two things for me. It's self-will and delusional thinking. Mm-hmm. Self-will is I just take my will back. And the delusional thinking is that, for me, you know, my diet's ended somewhere around breakfast, you know, and I probably ate before dinner. And so, you know, this conscious contact, I write down my food every day.
Yeah.
I call a sponsor. I turn it over. And then... the conscious contact for me is when I'm about to eat that meal, I take the notebook out, I read it, I make a conscious contact, because years ago I heard the metaphor of, you know, you have to take a lion or a tiger out of a cage 3 times a day. First of all, I never grew up in a place where I ever had a lion or a tiger, and I should be taking one out of a cage, never. So it's not that. The 3 times a day are a way for me to really... deeply surrender, because it may not be about the food, but I could never control the food. Just on my own, make really bad decisions and feel really bad about myself. So the fact that I can make that conscious contact 3 times a day, or, you know, at least 3 times a day, it tells me there's a God. Because with all the research I've done, and I've gained and lost a family of 4, Yeah, I mean, easily. So gaining and losing weight isn't my problem. I wish it were, because I'd be great at it. It's being able to, and I sometimes think about it as the seconds in between are just like little blocks, like kids' blocks that have an open top. And I just have to put God in there, just second by second, because if I don't, I take my will back. The delusional thinking is I can handle it again, and back to square one.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Diane.
Yeah.
I'm Diana.
Hey, Diana.
I wanted to just share something with all of you, because there was a time in this last year where I was kind of at my most vulnerable and open, and I guess feeling safe enough to be open, but I had a real God experience, feeling it in my body, and it was gorgeous, but it scared the hell out of me. So this piece of the fear of feeling too much, too powerful, you know, I know God was coming through me. That was very clear. It happened once, you know, for minutes, and the second time was much shorter. And I was trying to figure out, how do I get this back? Mm. You know, it's because that's a nice trip instead of food. I'd like that. So it was almost like I had to, I don't want to say a bottom, but a top on this, feeling comfortable enough to be open to whatever, but at the same time wanting to shut it down because it was, you know, what is going on here? But it gave me that sense that there is something really that's within me, that's a piece of God that came through at a time that I guess I could handle it well enough.
Mm. Wow. Beautiful. Thank you.
Hmm? Oh, wait. Diane, you'll sign for me.
Are we over time?
No.
I'm Susie from Utah.
Hi, Susie.
And I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Susie.
I was confused by my answers on this survey because I believe in a higher power intellectually. I really do, in my heart. So I was confused by how many were on, well, once in a while, some days, most days. And so I was so glad to be reminded of Mother Teresa, and how, what a large part of her life she suffered by not having that feeling of connectedness with her higher power. And gosh, if that's, then she's such an example. If that's the way she felt, then, and that I was reminded by you that it's not necessarily a feeling, but it's a decision to try to align my will with God's will with my own best guesses.
Yeah.
So thank you. That just...
beautiful.
Unconfuses me and simplifies it. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Last one, yeah. Yeah.
Hello, Joyce. Compulsive eater.
Hi, Joyce.
I remember, there's two things I was thinking of. One is my analogy for spirituality, if you're having trouble with the God concept, is one of the analogies that I thought was really good is in Star Wars, when they talk about the Force, you know, grabbing the power of the Force, and then there's the dark side. And as far as I'm concerned, the addictions is the dark side. It's like no question, you know. And then the power of the Force, you know, the power for good and for forgiveness and love and all that. That's one thing. And the other thing that I thought about is knowledge of, you know, God's will and the power to carry that out. You know, situations come up, and sometimes I don't know what to do. And in the big books, it talks about taking a step and asking for an intuitive thought or decision. And it also says we may make all kind of blunders doing this, but eventually it'll become like a working part of us. And I think I've been in 12-step programs for, 38 years, 36 years sober, and then the other sister program, and now see how. But... years and years of practice of asking God, okay, what do you think goes on in this situation? And then when it's really, really tough, like when somebody dies that I love, or, you know, someone's, you know, really in trouble, what comes from me? I ask God, you know, what do you want from me here? And somehow I get thoughts like strength, compassion for others, being of service, instead of thinking about, oh my God, this is happening, you know, I'm so sad, I'm so upset, it's more thinking about how I can be there for the next person or how I can be strong. And only God can do that for me. I can't do that for myself. How I can get through this without causing any more distress or making the situation worse, which I think before I had God in my life, I probably did, you know, by getting hysterical or me, 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 and I need you so bad kind of thing. So I think that intuitive thought or decision is really good. I do have good intuition. It's usually right. I just don't listen to it sometimes. I'll get the intuitive thought, oh, you know, no, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't go out with that guy. Don't, you know, eat that food. And I'm like, I'm not listening. I want to do what I want to do, you know. And invariably, it gets me in a lot of trouble. But to, you know, in the beginning of the day, to say, you know, I pray for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. God will give me the power, and he'll shoot the knowledge through people, through situations, through the phone bridge, you know, all kind of little clues will come. I just have to, as you say, have awareness. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your contributions. Wow.
It was wonderful. Thank you. So we're going to go back to that prayer of St. Francis because it addresses exactly what you were just talking about, which is, you know, what do I do when I have this power, when I have this conscious contact? What choices do I make? So I'm going to have you close your eyes again, place your feet flat on the ground, sit up straight in your chair. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, and it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you.
Enjoy your afternoon.